RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates coal-fired power plant worth $6 billion U.S. dollar. Minister Budi Karya confident MRT and LRT projects on schedule. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo has inaugurated a coal-fired power plant with a capacity of 660 megawatt and broken ground on three others in Serang, Banten. The four projects are part of the 35,000 megawatt power generation project. Three power plants that are being constructed are the coal-fired power plant Jawa 7, Jawa 9, and Jawa 10, developed by a subsidiary of state-owned electricity company PLN. The coal-fired power plant Jawa 9 and Jawa 10 are located in the area of Suralaya. The facility is designed to have a capacity up to 2 times 1,000 megawatt with investment worth $3 billion. The cost of power generation is expected to be at $5.99 per kilowatt an hour. Indonesian Energy Ministry spokesman Dadan Kustiana stated in a press release received on Thursday that the coal-fired power plant adopts ultra-supercritical technology, which is environmentally friendly and allows higher energy conversion efficiency compared to the previous coal-fired power plant conventional technology. The Energy Ministry expects the coal-fired power plant Jawa 9 and 10 to begin operation by 2022. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi is confident that Mass Rapid Transit MRT and Light Rail Transit LRT projects will be completed on schedule. He said in Jakarta on Thursday that there will be no delay. The MRT project will be completed by 2018, whereas Bekasi-Bogor LRT project is expected to be completed by 2019. The confidence is in line with President Joko Widodo's instruction to develop the two mass transit projects according to plan and proper function. Minister Budi also remarked that the construction of 16 kilometers long south-north lanes in Phase 1, Lebak Bulus, Hotel Indonesia's roundabout in the MRT project is underway. The project is 78.01% complete with investment worth 14 trillion rupiah and is expected to begin operation in March 2019. Meanwhile, the LRT project is 19.20% complete as of September. The Embassy of Colombia in Indonesia joined the celebration of International Coffee Day in Lampung. Colombia is one of the countries with the best coffee in the world and the third largest coffee producer after Vietnam and Brazil. Consul Juan Pablo Osorio from the Embassy of Colombia in Indonesia participated in the event held on September 29 to October 1st, as said in the press release received on Friday, October 6. During the International Coffee Day celebration in the western Indonesia's region, the guests and experts made various tasting and tests of one of the most sold and consumed agricultural products in the world. The event, which was preceded over by Lampung Governor Muhammad Ridho Fikardo, was also attended by producers of robust coffee from Lampung, business people, and visitors from several countries. In addition, the barista competitions in various categories and coffee preparation have also enlivened the celebration. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Outspoken lawmakers of the Commission 9th of the House of Representatives, Muhammad Misbakun, has warned Finance Minister Sri Mulyani not to be too easy in offering tax facility for PT Freeport Indonesia, a U.S. company which has large gold and copper mine in Papua. He said in Jakarta on Thursday, October 5th, that the Indonesian Finance Ministry, which supervises the Taxation's Director General, is responsible for state revenue from the taxation sector. Ms. Bakun questioned the plan of the Finance Ministry to provide facility in tax dispensation for PT Freeport Indonesia. He also remarked that there are a number of regulations on tax facilities, such as the Law on Minerals and Coal, Law on Income Tax, and Contract of Work. He added that the Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, in speaking about tax facility, should address all mining companies, adding PT Freeport Indonesia should not be the only one receiving tax facility. The national legendary soccer players will play against the legendary players of English football clubs, Arsenal and Liverpool, in friendly matches at the Masters Cup 2017 to be held in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan, November 5th. Bima Sakti, former Indonesian national player, told the press in Jakarta on Thursday that it will be the last match as a player for him. Of course, as a player, he is set to face retirement, but he is proud to have started his career in Balikpapan to end in Balikpapan. In addition to Sakti, the other national legendary soccer players will include Kurniawan Dwi Yulianto, Eli Eboy, Firman Utina, Maman Abdurrahman, Haris Yulianto, Rocky Putirai, Gendut Doni, and Budi Sudarsono. In the meantime, the legendary players of English football club Arsenal who will take part will include Lauren, Mikel Silvestre, Gilberto Silva, and Robert Pierce. Indonesian Armed Forces celebrates its 72nd anniversary on October 5, 2017, in commemorating the 72nd anniversary of Indonesian Armed Forces, which held in Indah Kiat Seaport, Cilegon, Banten on Thursday. President Joko Widodo was acting as ceremony inspector. In his speech, President Joko Widodo expressed his thanks for more professionalism of Indonesian Armed Forces, keeping personal promise and maintaining the sovereignty and integrity of Republic of Indonesia, as well as five basic principles, Pancasila.
Dan dengan penuh rasa optimisme, saya mengatakan bahwa
with full optimism, I said that Indonesian military becomes the armed forces which is more respected continuously by other countries, becomes big power in the region, in Asia. And I trust that Indonesian military will always be the first in maintaining the unity, sovereignty, and integrity of Republic of Indonesia.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also explained that Indonesia must be a stable country and it must be alert over threat both inside and outside in the global era. He further said that Indonesian people must be united and Indonesian armed forces must also be united with other institutions in maintaining sovereignty and integrity of Republic of Indonesia. Directorate of Heritage and Cultural Diplomacy, Director General of Culture of the Ministry of Education and Culture of Indonesia, held celebrations and handover of Intangible Cultural Heritage Certificate 2017 at Kesenian Jakarta building in Jakarta more recently. The cultural celebration attended by Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi and Director General of Culture Hilmar Farid aimed to protect the intangible cultural heritage in the territory of Indonesia through inventory, security, maintenance, rescue, and publications, involving regional governments, communities, and academics. On the occasion, Minister Muhajir Effendi said that Law No. 5-2017 on Cultural Progress has been ratified and approved. He views that by ratifying the law that has been awaited process for 15 years could trigger the community to keep preserving the culture across the archipelago by the cooperation and cohesion of all stakeholders.
Tentu dengan disahkannya undang-undang majuan kebudayaan akan bisa memacu.
By ratifying the law, it could spur and inspire us to keep maintaining, preserving, developing, as well as promoting either tangible or intangible culture. Surely, we hope that simultaneous cooperation among central government, provincial government, regency, and administration would run smoothly. In addition, we keep searching, seeking, digging our forgotten culture and bringing it back.
The event that has been done since 2013 has set a total of 594 Indonesian intangible cultural heritage, as many as 115 tangible cultural heritage of 416 proposals have been set to enter through the session's determination of Indonesian intangible cultural heritage sessions in Jakarta on August 21st to 24, 2017. The peak of this event was marked by the handover of the Certificate of Intangible Cultural Heritage to the representative of each province and awards to the province with the most conscious cultural heritage that this year is achieved by Yogyakarta. The handover of the certificate and awards was done by the Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, and Director General of Culture, Hilmar Farid. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today, entitling The Visit of Saudi Arabia's King to Russia is a New Round of Relations Between the Two Countries. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Russia enter a new phase in bilateral relations. The visit of King Salman Abdul Aziz Al Saud this week becomes a momentum for the relation between the two countries. Beginning Wednesday, the Saudi Arabian king has begun a series of working visits and held talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. This event can be called a historic visit, as it is the first time to be carried out. Saudi Arabia views this as the beginning of the strengthening cooperation with Moscow. The signal of the importance on the working visit was delivered by Saudi Foreign Minister Adel Al Jubeir. The two countries' leaders are reportedly not only discussing bilateral relations, but also paying attention to regional issues. Bilaterally, the two nations must have an interest in discussing economic issues, particularly oil management and trading. Saudi Arabia, as an OPEC member, has an interest in discussing it with Moscow. Russia is known as one of the major oil-producing and exporting countries. The cooperation between Russia and Saudi Arabia as the world's major oil producer will certainly have an impact on the global oil market. Viewed from the foreign policy of Saudi Arabia, the first visit since the establishment of the kingdom reflects that Riyadh is seeking a new strategic partner, especially through the policy of diversification of foreign relations. The condition of the country's economy leads to the emergence of new thoughts. Take for example, Saudi Arabia should not depend on only one or two countries, despite having potential and global influence and strong economically. This policy is reflected from the previous visit of King Salman to Japan and China. Saudi Arabia views Russia as one of the major players in the global arena, and it plays a major role in the Asian region. For Russia itself, improving stronger relations with Saudi Arabia may bring about not only gaining economic interests, but also strengthening Russia's strategic move in the Middle East region. Take for example, the conflict in Syria. Saudi Arabia and Russia are in a position of being opposite each other. Russia supports President Assad's regime, while Saudi Arabia supports the group against the government. That was commentary. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event of Yom Kippur War, which occurred on October 6, 1973. Yom Kippur War was also known as Ramadan or October War, which was occurred on October 6 to 26, 1973, between Israel against the coalition of Arabic countries led by Egypt and Syria. The war was over with the defeat and total destruction of the Arab countries' military. On October 6, 1973, on the day of Yom Kippur, the greatest Jewish feast, when the Israelites were fervently celebrating it, also coincided with the month of Ramadan for Muslims. Syria, Libya, and Egypt invaded Israel unexpectedly. The number of invading armies was huge. In the Golan Heights, Israel's defense line, which only 180 tanks, has to deal with 1,400 Syrian tanks. While on the Suez Canal, less than 500 Israeli soldiers were in battle against 80,000 Egyptian soldiers. When compared, one Israeli tank was attacked by 8 Arab tanks. And every one Israeli soldier was beaten by 160 Arabic soldiers. Egypt took lessons in the Six-Day War in 1967 about the weakness of air defense, so that at the time, 3-4 Egyptian air force was totally destroyed, while Syria still resisted itself. Aware that the fleet of Egyptian fighter planes still used much older technology than Israel, Egypt has finally implemented an air umbrella strategy by using missiles and anti-airborne cannon. The result of this strategy was powerful because the Israeli Air Force finally overwhelmed. We end this segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on October 6, 1981. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat was killed. General Muhammad Anwar al-Sadat is a soldier and Egyptian politician. He served as the third president of Egypt in the October 15, 1970 period until he was assassinated on October 6, 1981. By the Western world, he was regarded as a very influential people in Egypt and in the Middle East in the modern history. In 1964, after holding various positions in the Egyptian government, he was elected by President Gamal Abdel Nasser to serve as vice president. He served the post until 1966 and from 1969 to 1970. After Gamal Abdel Nasser died, Anwar Sadat was inaugurated as the third president of Egypt. In 1973, Anwar Sadat, together with Hafez al-Assad of Syria, led Egypt in Yom Kippur War against Israel to recapture the Sinai Peninsula, which was controlled by Israel when the Suez Canal Crisis in 1956 and the Six-Day War were occurred. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Focus. Today we'll invite you to talk about Indonesian President launches the National Action of Eradication of Illegal and Drug Abuses. Indonesian President Joko Widodo launched a national action to eradicate illegal drugs and drug abuse. President Joko Widodo in his speech at the event at Campground and Graha Wisata Cibubur, East Jakarta on Tuesday, October 3, 2017, asserted that the state must be present and provide protection to the entire nation and all people of Indonesia. According to the president, to educate people is very important. Therefore, schools, boarding schools, and teachers have to explain their students about the dangers of illegal drugs. President Joko Widodo wants the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, BPOM, to be strengthened due to the increasing circulation of illegal drugs and narcotics and drugs or hazardous substances among community. Such reinforcement is intended for more intensive supervision. Therefore, according to the president, there will be prepared regulations in the future, because the strengthening of the BPOM can be done through the issuance of legal umbrella in the form of law. President Joko Widodo also asserted the role of the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency BPOM is increasingly important in preventing the circulation of illegal drugs and hazardous drugs in the community. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo reminded that BPOM's supervisory function is not only on the administrative affair, or should be based on awareness to protect the people and save the Indonesian young generation. However, the president also pointed out that the task of protecting people from the threat of drugs and illegal drugs is not only carried out by BPOM alone. All ministries, institutions, and local governments are asked to cooperate in effort to eradicate drugs. Meanwhile, head of the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, BPOM, Penny Lukito, said, "The agency continues to strengthen coordination in order to protect the public from illegal drug and food circulation to follow up Presidential Instruction No. 3, 2017, on improving the effectiveness of drug and food control, which involves cross-sectoral agencies in accordance with their respective duties, functions, and authorities. It also includes abusing of certain medicines by communities, which is very harmful for health, even causing death." In the future, Penny hopes that the law on drug and food control will soon become a regulatory umbrella so that it will strengthen to protect the people. In the National Action on Illegal Drug Eradication and Drug Abuse, there were also signed mutual action of eradication of illegal drugs and drug abuse by 11 parties, including the Ministry of Health, the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, the police, the Attorney General's Office, the Indonesian Doctors Association, the Indonesian Association of Pharmacists, and the Association of Pharmaceutical Entrepreneurs. Listener, that was today's focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo has inaugurated a coal-fired power plant with a capacity of 660 megawatts and broken ground on three others in Serang, Banten. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi is confident that mass rapid transit and light rail transit projects will be completed on schedule. The Embassy of Colombia in Indonesia joined the celebration of International Coffee Day in Lampung. Outspoken lawmakers of the Commission 9th of the House of Representatives, Muhammad Misbakun, has warned Finance Minister Sri Mulyani not to be too easy in offering tax facility for PT Freeport Indonesia, a U.S. company which has large gold and copper mine in Papua. The national legendary soccer players will play against the legendary players of English football clubs, Arsenal and Liverpool, in friendly matches at the Master Cup 2017 to be held in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan, on November 5th. Listener, that was news in brief of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still
still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Listener, on September 30, many residents crowded at Sunan Kudus Cemetery Complex in Sentul, Java. Sunan Kudus is one of the spreaders of Islam in Java. Residents gather in the area to hold the Bukalur ritual tradition. Bukalur is a memorial ceremony of the death of Sunan Kudus called Haul, which is held every 10th of Muharram or the first month in Islamic calendar or 10th of Surah. In addition, this ritual is also held at once to commemorate the service and exemplary of Sunan Kudus as the founder of Kudus region who spread the teaching of Islam. Listener, the process of Bukalur ceremony begins with the purification of the helm in the form of kris, which is believed belongs to Sunan Kudus. This sanctification was carried out long before the 10th of Syura. Usually the water which is used to wash the kris is in the Javanese language called kolo, contested by the people who have kris to wash it. The community thought the water could bring blessings. Then on the first of Syura, it was done removal of netting or white cloth covering the tomb of Sunan Kudus. The white cloth called luwer. The white cloth will be replaced with a new one. The change procession of luwer is the core of Bukalur tradition. Before the installation of new white fabric, people are conducted many activities. On the night of 9 of Muharram or Syura, it is usually held Barjanji, an expression of love to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The 9th of Muharram, after the dawn prayer, it was held the recitation of the Quran from beginning to end. Later in the evening, it is held a public recitation which tells about the struggle and personality of Sunan Kudus, which is expected to be a model by the community. On the morning of 10th of Muharram, after dawn prayer, the replacement of white cloth that begins with the recitation of the holy verses of Quran, only specially followed by the kiai or religious leaders, followed by the installation of the net or white cloth. The old cloth cut for some part and given to the scholars and invited guests. Then followed by the distribution of nasi jangkrik and nasi uyah asam. Nasi jangkrik and nasi uyah asam is the rice with side dish of buffalo and goat meat,
cooked with typical seasoning of Kudus cuisine. People are willing to line up to get the food. They believe the rice can bring blessings to their lives. Listener, that was today's regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bukaluwur Ritual Tradition. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. We'll meet again in Miscellany. Sail Indonesia is an annual yacht rally tournament that departs from Darwin, Australia. This event is held in every July and is followed by a three-month program related to tourism destinations throughout Indonesia. In this miscellany edition, we'll talk about Sabang Sail, which becomes the peak of Sail Indonesia 2017 activities. Listener, Sail Indonesia 2017 will be held again. This activity starts from Darwin, Australia on Saturday, July 29, 2017. The participants of Sail Indonesia will arrive in Sabang, Aceh Province on December 1 to December 7, 2017. This arrival is marked as the peak of the activity. As it is known, Sail Indonesia 2017 is an international event that has been held since 2000. This activity is the world-scale yacht rally started from Darwin, Australia to some regions of Indonesia. The yachts will stop over in Bali, East Nusa Tenggara, Thousand Islands, and Batam before continuing their voyage to Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. The Deputy of Human Resources, Maritime Technology and Maritime Science at the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Safri Burhanuddin, said that Sail Sabang 2017 gives the theme Sabang as the world gates of maritime destinations. Besides focusing on tourism development, Sail Sabang will also be highlighted with various activities. The location of these activities will be focused on 4 points: Sabang Bay, Sabang Fair, Gapang Resort, and 0 kilometer point. Meanwhile, the peak of this event will take place in Pasiran, Sabang Bay. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend this peak of event. This location is also planned to function as a cargo port.
This event will display various interesting activities such as yacht rally, seminar, science exhibition, Aceh Cultural Week, Sail Sabang Parade, International Aerobics Show, Paras Bangan Championships, Wonderful Sabang Exhibition, Marine Exhibition, Sabang Underwater Photography Competition at Ipoh Beach and Chapang, Free Dive Championship, Fishing Competition in Rondo Island Surroundings, and many more. The participants can also take a city tour to Banda Aceh, the capital of Aceh Province, and visit the Tsunami Museum. At the opening of Sail Sabang 2017, a colossal dance of Laksamana Malahayati will be presented. For the closing ceremony, a traditional ceremony called Trun will be shown. Sail Sabang 2017 is expected to be able to promote Sabang enchantment with various kinds of its maritime excellences. The success of Sail Sabang 2017 will actualize Indonesian government's goal to make Sabang as an international maritime port hub, especially for western region of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today with the topic Sail Sabang 2017, the peak of Sail Indonesia 2017. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. See you later.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in our regular program, Music Corner. In this program, we present a glimpse of the traditional and modern music development, as well as the career of Indonesian singers. For the 4th August 2017 edition, for you as fans of Indonesian dangdut music, we will play dangdut songs. Starting this meeting, we listen to the song entitled Zakia from Mat Albar. Happy listening.
Oh,
Well, listener, you just enjoyed the song Zakia from Ahmad Albar. Although Ahmad Albar is a legend of Indonesian rock music, in his career, he ever released dangdut songs. Through the song Zakia, Ahmad Albar shows his ability to bring dangdut songs. Not all singers can sing dangdut songs well, and Ahmad Albar proves with the nuances of rock music, dangdut songs can be sung well, evidenced by many fans of dangdut music that welcomes his presence. Listener, we listen to one of other songs from Ahmad Albar entitled Raja Kumbang. Listener, thank you for being with me, Dee, in Music Corner program, which is playing dangdut song from Ahmad Albar. dangdut song album released by Ahmad Albar in 1979 raises the pros and cons. Rock music fans of Ahmad Albar feels disappointed with the presence of this dangdut album. But Ahmad Albar proved without leaving the nuances of rock in dangdut songs, the vocal colors fit to bring dangdut song. After Ahmad Albar, there are several rock singers who then released dangdut songs. Listener, to end our music corner today, I'll play the song Red Rose or Mawar Merah. Thank you for our togetherness. See you later.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.